G'day guys, welcome back to another episode of the Inner City Hermit Podcast. Like I always say, if you're enjoying the content, make sure you go over to YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the podcast, and make sure you subscribe so you can stay up to date. And also, head over to social media, Instagram, Facebook, at Inner City Hermit. Probably not do TikTok because I'm terrible at it, clearly. But yeah, go follow the podcast and all those things and support the channel and do your thing, guys. Man, my guest today, far out. I cannot even believe that I actually got to speak to him, to be honest. My guest today was Isaac John, or aka Ice. Now, Ice pretty much runs YKTR. Now, YKTR is a massive clothing brand in Australia. They've been doing amazing things for years. He runs probably one of the best podcasts going around in Australia as well as a whole bunch of other media things. The man's just a genius when it comes to content. So being able to sit down and talk to him was just fucking phenomenal, to say the least. He's a lovely dude as well, and so open just to sort of letting me pick his brain about a couple different things and all that sort of stuff as well, which is great. Now, we'll give you the heads up though. I clearly had some issues. My AirPods didn't work at the start, but then they did. That was one problem. The second problem was my Zoom recording actually lagged a little bit when I click record, so you missed the first minute of the podcast, which is fantastic. And of course, you know, the fire alarm went off halfway through the podcast as well, doing a fire alarm test, so that was excellent. But we pretty much jumped straight into this podcast. I sort of asked Ice, you know, given the circumstances and how sort of where he is at now, what would be his three top tips to go into, you know, to go to anyone who's wanting to start their own clothing label from the ground up. So we're going to jump straight in there on his first point or his first tip, and let's get this shit going, guys.
But use us as their types of motivation as well. So that's my biggest key, my biggest takeaway is storytell before fucking actually making clothes. So if you look at clothing, if you look at any of the biggest industries or any of the biggest brands, bro, like I've got YKTR on the chest, like fucking innovative, bro. How fucking cool is that? But in saying that, like one of the most impactful moments I've ever had is seeing someone just 16-year-old or 17 or 18 or 19-year-old girl open up a YKTR hoodie and start crying. So from the outside, from the surface looking at, you're looking at a piece of material with four letters that are embroidered on, but how you can make someone feel about wearing that piece of cotton or piece of that, or that hoodie or that t-shirt, fuck, that's where you can really make an impact. Number two, don't worry about cash. Early, don't worry about cash, worry about branding. So build brand first. So the ones that are going to survive this COVID-19 are the ones that built the best brand. And I feel like we've built a very good brand because we interact with people. Like I've blocked out 6 hours of my day to jump on six podcasts, and there's probably no ROI in terms of branding for me in this, but the ROI for me in this is I get to help some people as well. So that fucking makes me feel good, which you might have people that listen to this and get inspired. This long tail potentially might get an ROI of someone buying the hood. Last one, be authentically yourself. And like I tell people to copy me and do exactly everything I do, start a podcast, start a vlog. Here's our fonts. You can, whatever you can do, but at the end of the day, there has to be a type of point of difference somewhere in some shape or form. And the best way to not be like anyone else is to be yourself. And like, I see people do vlogs and it looks exactly the same as ours. And they can roll the intro and they're saying exactly the same thing that I just said 2 days ago.
But
in fairness, I'm saying that, bro, copy everything that we do, but then put your own little twist on it. So be authentic, learn how to storytell, and don't focus on build brand over cash.
Yeah, I think that's so funny. Actually, you posted a video the other day. I think it was a podcast, actually, and I was listening to it in the car, and you said sort of like you want to put it out there and let people sort of, in a way, like copy what you do, but put your own twist on it. And I noticed, like, completely not even sort of trying to copy, I've said roll the intro like three times into the podcast.
It's the best way to start a podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think it is. It's just like the energy into it is like you're really pumped into it. But then I was like, you know, that's so true. Like I sort of want to start, you know, same sort of thing. Get that like, oh, that's my sort of key. That's my tale. That's going to start it. And like, yeah, that's crazy how, you know, it's funny when you see people who get it. Like, you know, obviously people will understand and be like, yep, sweet. I'm going to do what you do, but do it differently. And then some people sort of just, I guess, get stuck in that realm of that's all they know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's almost like you always want to echo people that are smarter than you, and I always say that as well. But then, like, I'm the prime example. Like, I say this fucking openly and honestly, and I was like, I just call whatever Gary Vee says, I fucking do it, and then and then I'll report on it in my own way. And there's an element of like I'll fucking copy and paste everything he does, but like if you look at me and Gary Vee, like we say similar things, but like it's in a very different context, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
And like a lot of people listen to Gary Vee and I don't like his tone of voice, or I can't relate to him because like he wants to buy the New York Jets, and like I don't even know what NFL football is. I feel like I can cross these different like parallels of like I don't look like a business person. Like I go to business meetings, I wear hoodies, like, but I can have a conversation with a smart business person, and they can like, they'll come into my office to sit down and have a coffee. And it's this weird little mix at the moment for me
where
I've come from a league background. I'm like, I'm an Islander. I've never been to uni. I've never done a marketing course at uni. I come from this country town that's gang affiliated and there's 10,000 people. Like, what the fuck right do I have to be talking about business and to be talking about marketing and talking about branding? Probably none. But in saying that, I can communicate with a demographic that really resonates with me because they find that I didn't think I was into business because I thought that was only for rich people, but it's not. Like, oh, I thought you had to go to uni. So I feel like my biggest strength as a communicator is to take that sort of complex or these walls that are built up around this egotistical business world of white collar and all that sort of stuff and break it down into circumstances for us blue collars and people like me that wanted to start a business but didn't have that uncle that could show them the ropes. So I feel like that's my place in this society at the moment.
Yeah, man. And honestly, just on that, man, like obviously, I don't know if you know, but I'm a teacher and I teach in an area. So I teach in Marsden. I actually teach at Marsden State High School. So, you know, we breed some of the pretty much best rugby players coming out of Queensland. But, you know, on the other side, we're always trying to like advocate to the kids, like, you know, you can start a business, you can do that. And someone like you, because obviously a lot of like a big Islander population in Marsden, someone like you doing the things that you do is so like just awesome to have that person that the kids can like finally look up to and go, hey, like, you know, it's not just a white collar thing, which is awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like you'll see like in Polynesians and that, like a lot of them parents push them towards sports, like, and a lot of them might be naturally gifted sports people, but that's not where their passion lies.
Yeah.
Just because they're good in it doesn't mean that their passion lies there. So I think there's a stereotypical thing that all Islanders have to go fucking play rugby league or go play rugby and go earn that massive money. But then when I come to Australia and I started hanging around like my Lebanese mates and like all them, like their culture was a little bit different where like everyone had a business. Like, my friend owns that coffee shop over there. Let's go talk to him. And like big, like helpful, like very similar in terms of like very welcoming, like come over to my house and we'll feed you and stuff like that. But then just two different really parallels. Like we're pushing all these Islanders towards sports and all these Lebanese, like they're going like, my friend owns this business. My friend owns this business. And they talk business. They talk money. They talk that stuff. So it's just been an interesting like thing growing up, and I was pushed towards that sports thing, but I wanted to be there as well. So that's the point of difference. But yeah. What do you think on, like, just going to get a little bit deep here, but what do you think on the schooling system as a teacher right now as it stands? I know you got to do a job and do what you got to do, but how much are you following curriculum versus how much are you going, fuck, look over there as well?
Definitely, man. And especially in our sort of context where our school is, you know, we can't just get the conventional pathway of like, oh, you go to uni, you get a job, you do this and that. You know, we have kids, I guess we call it, you know, in the same way you said, we're trying to break the stereotype. Like a lot of the kids, and it's not a bad thing, you know, they usually go into family business, you know, like a lot of the kids' parents are always like, well, it doesn't really matter what you do in school, man, you're going to end up working for the family and then your kids are going to work for them. And I think it's, you as a teacher, you run a fine line, you know, like I grew up in the area and now I teach in the area. So I know like how, you know, what family means to the kids, and to go against that family sort of grain is sort of in a way frowned upon. So you're trying to like get these kids to understand that, hey, like you've got potential. You don't just have to play rugby league or go work for your parents' business. Like you can definitely do things, but I think a lot of the kids are disheartened because the idea of uni is so far away from their sort of realm of thought that trying to, and especially someone like me, man, like I'm not the smartest person around. Like I teach because I love it, not because I'm smart. You know, I'm not the smartest person around, but I know life skills. You know, I worked 5 different jobs, laboring jobs, food jobs, everything. I can at least give the kids a well-rounded sort of idea of, hey, like try everything, do everything. Like just because it's out of reach, man, give it a go. Who the fuck cares, you know?
I often find the concept of like going to uni, paying for an education, coming out and then having a job that pays less than like say like your tradie mate or something. Like I find that concept weird of, oh fuck, like cool, you've got that piece of paper on the wall, and at the pub you might have fucking that like social status of like, oh, I'm a little bit smarter than you because that fucking piece of paper and I wasted a fuckload of money on that. But in the same breath, like I don't want to bag university because if you want to be a doctor or if you want to be an engineer, but you need stuff like that. But in the context of business, you can learn business in 2 weeks, I reckon, in my opinion. You can learn basic business in 2 weeks. You don't need to go to 4 years and learn about marketing. Apparently in marketing, they're still like doing print ads, like fucking in the mailbox.
I hear a lot of things at uni where you're just like, that's like, and I was actually going to ask you the question, you know, with everything that's available, you know, you got Gary Vee, you got people like yourself, you got like multitudes of information on YouTube. Like if someone was sort of wanting to start a business, whether it be clothing or anything, you know, and that uni sort of realm was way out of reach, whether they sort of dropped out of school or whatever, like what would you sort of say to those people in terms of where to find that sort of information?
What do you think? Like, is this recorded, exactly, bro? Fuck you, bro. It's on your fucking phone. Bro. If anyone can't find fucking information on their fucking phone, like you probably don't deserve to be in business. And I mean, like, the types of questions I get, I literally go, if you put that question into Google and press enter, like you're gonna get a fuckload bit of answers than I'm all ever gonna give you. And people, I don't think people understand how powerful that their phone is. They see it as like an entertainment machine. This is actually fucking a media company. This is actually all the information. Oh shit! Turn that light on. this has got more knowledge than like every society that's ever existed combined into one. And it's in your fucking pocket. Like you literally can go, hey Siri, like how do I start a clothing business? And there's someone that's gonna probably, I'm gonna pop up, and there's gonna be podcasts about that. I've written blogs about that. There's gonna be YouTube content about that. But one of the best sayings I've heard around this sort of time is like, we live in the information age, but we're starved of knowledge. And I don't think that we're starved of knowledge. We're fucking too lazy to fucking look for it. Like, hey Ice, what's the name of that song? Like, you know, there's a thing called Siri. There's a thing called, like, you can literally go, hey,
Shazam
Siri.
It.
Shazam. There's a billion-dollar guy that's just made a Shazam fucking app, like made a fuckload of money off the Shazam app because he can recognize music. So I think we're looking for that sort of shortcut option. And other shortcut options that I do hear a lot is like, hey Ice, what's the one book that changed your life? Hey, I was like, what's that one podcast that put you on your life? There is no fucking one podcast that changed your life. There is no one book that, it's just accumulation of like every day. Like I've read 100 books before I started the business. Do you need to read that? Fuck no. But it gave me a foundation and a broad knowledge of a bunch of certain different things and learn from other people's experiences. But like the question is like, where is the knowledge? It's like literally like on your phone. It's in your pocket. It's vibrating. Instead of fucking looking up chicks on Instagram, you can literally spend like half an hour and sitting in university lectures and sitting in on, I've made 114 podcasts, start from start one. I've made 130 vlogs, start from, and that's how you learn. You learn by watching. You learn by, and then not only by watching and knowledge, but actually by doing. So what I found when I read 100 books, bro, I was that fucking guy sitting at coffee and just full of shit, you know what I mean? Like full of knowledge. Like, you know when you have a beer and you flip open the beer and it's got those useless facts?
Yeah.
Bro, that was me in human version. Like, I thought I was better than like my friends in football because I read books and I could say bigger words than them and I understood what these words mean. And I was trying to use all these big words and you found that it's just switched off straight away. And like, that was kind of it for me, bro. I was like, bro, I'm just fucking full of shit. And we all know that person that knows everything about everyone. Or
mate,
everything about
that.
Everything.
I feel
but
that.
Never
so
done
much,
anything,
man.
Bro. Never done anything. Well, bro, I was that guy.
Well, I feel the same thing, man. I feel like I sort of got so much information. Like honestly, one of the reasons why I started the podcast was people like you, you know, like we have completely different things. Like, you know, I've sort of in more so the media sort of side of things rather than the clothing, but everything you're doing, I was just like, fuck, okay, if he's doing that, like, you know, exactly right. I'm going to go find my own information. I'm going to go find my own start. I'm going to, like, everyone sort of asks, like, what equipment do you use? What this? I was like, I couldn't tell you, man. Go fucking, I just found a system that worked for me, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, people see, like, me and they're like, oh, does this kind of information work outside of clothing? Like, fucking course it does. Like, good content's always going to win. And I had a guy, the last guy he was on, he runs an air conditioning with his family.
Yeah.
He goes, how the fuck do I make air conditioning cool? I was like, bro, you can't. Like, it's just like, but everyone needs air air conditioning. So what you do, you start a podcast, you start a vlog, whatever it is you want to do, interview cool people, then just put your sponsor your own podcast. Hey guys, yeah. I'm talking to this guy. He's the fucking coolest guy in the world. Oh, fuck, it's starting to get hot. This podcast is brought to you by fucking YKTR Air Conditioning. And that's the way you do it. You provide valuable content from the from whatever standpoint you want to go through podcasts, through blogs, through vlogs, wherever the fuck way you want to do it. And then, but you got to have something that spits out money at the bottom. So I don't see YKTR as a clothing company. I see us as a content creation machine. Like our motto used to be inspire change through clothing, which I think we've done. But now it's going to be up on my wall soon. It's going YKTR, the brand that provides the most valuable content, period. Don't get outworked. That's our motto. Like we make clothes, cool, but that's just the bottom part of our funnel. If you understand like a funnel system like that, you're the same. You're making content. Essentially, if you make cool enough content, people are going to go, oh, like he's the thing that spits out from the bottom isn't a product. It's a service. It's a media service. It's someone that can provide, I don't know what type of content you do, but they say, I like that style of content. I want that for me. What does he charge? And bro, that's the way it works. It doesn't matter what the fuck you're selling or service, product. Whoever makes best content is always going to win.
Yeah, definitely, man. And sort of on the side of content, like obviously YKTR, you said it started as like just a clothing brand. When was sort of that pivotal moment where you went, hey, like, fuck this. Let's fucking go big. Let's go media. Let's do YKTR sports. When was that sort of pivotal moment where you're like, let's fucking go?
Probably we done it. Like through vlogging pretty early on. Like we understood that was the marketing tactic that was actually getting us sales in the most back to Facebook ads. But then sort of last year, I sort of got to this point where, bro, like same shit, bro. I was just on podcasts like, oh, fucking the media. Like, why do they keep bagging football players? Like if you're going to complain about something online, like, and you're not going to do anything, like you're just adding to the noise. And oh, fuck, I was that guy again. I was just like, I listened back to one of the podcasts and people were like, oh, you're so right. You're so right. And I listened back to it. And I was like, fuck, I just sound like the biggest hater. Like, shut the fuck up. If you're not going to do anything about it, you know what I mean, bro? If you're not going to about it, bro, stop talking about it. And I pulled myself online. I had to check myself. And I was like, well, if I'm going to keep bagging media, let me try and actually do something that can flip the narrative. And that's why we started YKTR Sports. And it's not a great business model. It's guess how much money it's made in like 9 months? Fucking zero. But it is what it is. It's starting to create its own life. And it's trying to change the narrative. And it's trying to break down this wall.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? Bro, right. What did I say? They're literally testing the fucking fire alarms. I cannot believe this. We're gonna rock it anyway, bro. We're rocking it anyway. Fuck this. I knew this would happen. Anyway, mate, I can only laugh at this shit, eh?
Because you can relate to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right, man. Exactly right. And the thing I love about you, and then same as like Denim. Oh, I cannot believe this, man. I proper cannot believe this.
Don't worry, bro. I'll give you an extra 15, bro.
Oh, I love you so much, man. I just can't. Okay, there we go. It's done. fuck. And that's one thing I love about what you and Denim and all that are doing with the media. You know, like, it's for me as someone who loves rugby league and all that it's about, and then hearing, like, you know, the constant like negative, having you guys as giving voice back to the players in your media is so good to get that, you know. And even things like Brainchild's, like, you know, Ponga and Watson's podcast, that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you guys sort of making that, hey, like, make your own content, fuck it. Like, if we can oversaturate with positive stuff, we're going to drown out that negative shit.
Yeah, because it's, bro, do you know what media is to me? And like I said, I'm about to not really bag them again, but it's a game of Chinese whispers, isn't it? It's like, yeah, you know, man. When you're a kid and you play Chinese whispers and you're like, pew, pew, pew. By the time it gets to that like last person, how much has the story changed? And then I done a video, I'm not too sure if you've seen it last week, of how the business model of media actually works. So yeah, negative stories get open rates. If the more open rates they get, they can charge their ad spend out to whoever's sponsoring that type of content. So if that story on Latrell Mitchell was going to make you $50,000 in a day for your business, well, what the fuck do you think they're going to do the next day?
Latrell's
just gone out for another coffee, but he should be training, like, shit. Like,
yeah, so, and it's so picky too. Like, and especially around, they'll pretty much just pick the hot things. Like, you know, even down to like the coronavirus thing, like, man, there's so many scopes down on players just making sure, like, hey, if we can't do anything, like, fuck, you shouldn't be able to do anything either. And then as soon as there's like a whiff, like, you know, obviously media, they're running short on fucking shit to talk about. So of course they're going to fucking go ham with the tiniest bit of information that they have.
And I resonate with American sports, not through the actual sport itself. So basketball is probably my favorite sport. probably like even more than league at the moment. But in terms of, I won't watch a whole basketball game from start to finish. Like, I love everything outside of the game. I love when they walk through the tunnel and they're wearing cool shit. I love when they go out and eat. So we don't really have that cultural aspect around our sports. It's kind of like we just judge everyone on their 80 minutes and the content around, besides the Matty John show, which is fucking great. He does a great job. Everything else around it is built around negative. So you go Controversy Corner with Paul Gallen and those guys, and you go NRL 360, and they got the Good Cop, Bad Cop with Paul Kent. And all it does is just feel this negativity around it, that they feel like they have to change the product. Like, the product's great. The rugby league product is great. We got one of the greatest games in the world. We fucking love, and everyone watches State of Origin, but the product's great. But what do they do, bro? Because everyone's complaining about it consistently. They think the product's wrong. So, oh, let's go to two refs. Let's go to like a 20-40. What the fuck is a 20-40?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go down. So, do you know what I mean? They keep trying to change the product, but what they actually need to do is change the storytelling around the product. You look at Macca's, like, how long's Macca's been around for? Fucking ever. How many times have they changed the Big Mac?
Oh, mate, plenty of time. And even down to the marketing of it, you know, like, they just strategically market every time, and like, nothing's changed about the recipe, but the way you think about it, it's always like, oh, fuck, like, it looks new, it looks same shit, but they're just rebranding it over and over again, like you said.
And that's it, bro. That's where we're going wrong with our sport. And we're lucky, like, in terms of rugby league, in terms of branding within this country, besides AFL is fucking cool. Like, I enjoy AFL. I love the culture of, like, the memberships, and everyone goes to a game.
It's very tribal. Like, you know, you die for your team, you know.
But my girlfriend's from Adelaide, and she supports the Crows, and she knows Crows players, and she's got a fucking Crows scarf at home, and like, knows all the rules and stuff like that. And I found that really, really weird. But in terms of branding, we've got it, and it's not only through us and like Dylan and guys like that. But the example I always give, I was like, bro, name me five Wallabies.
I'm just like,
I don't know. Like, if someone asked me like, and had a gun to my head, I'd fucking be dead. Like, you know what I mean? Because I couldn't tell you, like, is Falau back or what? Because they don't have that brand positioning, and they haven't adapted to the culture of social media. They've kind of kept this like white collar and like, look at us, and like, you know what I mean, like, prestigious, and we went to private schools, and they've tried to keep this image about them. But the world's moving on, but then social media is more sort of like rat baggy and more blue collary
definitely.
The boys in football have a bit more personality, and like, we put these people on TV, like Matty Johns and Fletcher, and they got great personalities. Where you watch a rugby show and you got Phil Kearns talking about how great a scrum is, like, oh, that, you know, when you walk up to your first scrum and you go, scrum's about the worst part of your game. So you know what I mean, bro? So
yeah, man, I know.
And then, like, if I can be the pillar for people to start creating content, like you said before, with Kaylin, like, Kaylin messages me all the time, and I want to start a podcast, I want to start a vlog, how should I do this? Like, what that does, that just breaks down the walls, because you see that they're actually human. Like, when we see football players at the end of the week, they're meant to be this fucking perfect product and this role model. Like,
it's so hard for them. It doesn't exist. The perfection just, no one's perfect. You look at Jordan, for example.
Like Jordan's mate, example.
100%, if anything about the final dance has taught us, is he was not perfect. Rodman, not perfect. But if you expect perfection, you're always going to be disappointed, you know?
You always got to have that bit of weirdness about you if you want to be like at the top and at that level. You don't get that type of success without like being like a straighty 180. You got to have something like a little bit weird about you. Like Kanye West in the fashion game, reckons he's worth $3 billion right now. Like, you listen to him talk, you're like, what the fuck is he talking about? But he's got that element of weirdness about him where he can't switch off and he just wants to win. And Jordan's a perfect example of that. Like, he will ride people because he wants to win. And that's the way, like, when you've won three comps in a row and you know that's a proven formula, and there's guys that come into your system, you're like, fuck, this is what works, fall into line, or like, fuck off. So
yeah, exactly right.
And even like the gambling, like, this would have been the start. This is like pre-social media, but it was a sign of things to come. Like, oh, yeah, what's he doing Atlantic City fucking gambling when he's got game two of the finals? Where I think that's fucking cool. Like, do you know what I mean?
Man, same when he buried the beers in the golf game, was like, fuck it, I'm just going to play as well, and I'm going to bury you there. You know what I mean? It's so good, man.
see, like, the way the world's work now, where everyone's got an opinion through social media and stuff like that. Mm. So the boys could lose a game on Friday, and then they could be at Bondi Beach on Tuesday. And then fans will come through like, oh, what are you doing at the beach on Tuesday? Like, you guys lost. Like, you should be, like, training 24-7. Like,
yeah. And I think it's that accessibility too. Like, I guess people nowadays, because of social media, it's sort of like a blessing and a curse. You know, you've got the media where you can portray this certain picture, but at the same time with that and with the freedom of it, everyone, I guess, assumes that their opinion, you know, everyone has a right to an opinion, but that doesn't mean that your opinion matters. You know what I mean?
Well, or you have to share it. Like,
yeah, you know exactly, I mean? Right. Yeah, you're just like people, you know, exactly right. Like, you can start a podcast and all that sort of stuff. And then there's always going to be those people that take that negativity and just bring it back into that podcast and keep spitting that shit out there as well.
And I agree. And I agree with everything you've said there. But another topic on top of that is like, they want these football players to be role models, but they've just grown up like normal, like in rough areas, and a lot of people to get to the point to where they are. But then say someone like Adam Fanua Blake, he walks off the field and he's going like, fuck you to the crowd. Like, just tell me a movie, an action movie that doesn't have a bad guy. You know what I mean? I feel like we need to build these characters up to, like, we want people to hate Clemmer. Like, Clemmer doesn't give a fuck if what that random person thinks about him. Adam Fanua Blake, he's comfortable in being that bad guy. You know what I mean? So, there's a lot of good versus bad that I don't feel like that we storytell well enough. I think within the game right now, we're trying to be too politically correct with a lot of things. And you've seen that within the ad. And like, who fucking cares? We've got this great product. People aren't going to like each other. Let's tell stories around. Like,
definitely. Like, everyone, it's like that WWE syndrome. You know, the best characters are the bad guys at times. Like, the best characters are those bad guys that are just shitting on people. And you're like, oh, fuck. Ugh. Like, it gets you so passionate, you know?
And Vince McMahon, and I think Dana White's taking a lot out of Vince McMahon. The
100%,
way he sort of,
man.
He fronts the camera. He goes, fuck, this is who we are. This is what we're about. This is what we do. If you're a degenerate, be a degenerate. Like, Conor McGregor, you can say whatever the fuck you want. And won't get to the point there with rugby league, but wouldn't it be good to see? Like, wouldn't it be good to see Clemmer go, fuck, I just want to smash
just
this.
Fully untamed, man.
But imagine that. Just let it ride. The reason why we fall back on cliche so much in rugby league is because we're scared of what the media will say.
Yeah, like, for sure, man. And definitely, you can see them in interviews. Like, I feel so bad for them. Not only do they come off the field, they're interviewed a second after the fucking siren goes. They're allowed 3 minutes and they have to be conscious of what they say. Man, name me one. Dude, I will drop an F-bomb in 3 seconds if that was me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's
and then another point of the roll off the back of that, it's not everyone like takes losses exactly the same. So like I had Adi Savir, who's an All Black, and he, after they lost the semi-final in the World Cup, as an All Black when you're expected to win World Cups, he goes, oh, like I was okay, like we tried our best and we just got outbeaten. Where you see that in public and everyone's like, oh, this is what you should be doing, this is how. And even the fact of like people smiling because they've seen that they've just played against their mate. And they want to shake his hand and smile, and they get that certain moment gets caught on camera, and they're, oh, look at him, he's laughing, he doesn't even care about fucking losing. Like, just that little petty shit kind of gets annoying, man. Bro.
And there's heaps of it too. That like I said, it's oversaturated, so everyone needs a story. And if they can pick up a small smirk after you lose, like, of course they're gonna fucking smile. Like, why is he laughing? Like, you're exactly right, Ian. Mm. Sorry, we got a bit sidetracked there. I knew this had happened, man. I'd start talking to you about sport and then we'd just go on another tangent.
Good, bro. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, man. I love this sort of style of conversation. But, you know, with you, obviously having that background in footy, you know, obviously really, really competitive and like being around the boys, do you sort of take that competitiveness, that competitive edge that you have in sport and sort of apply it to business as well? Like, always got to be better, that sort of style?
Yes and no. Like, yes, probably when I come in, there was an element of competition with me, but like, I can get competition out where other places, like I play one-on-one basketball with the boys or two-on-two basketball, bro. That's competition for me. I'm collecting sports cards at the moment. Fucking Aaron Smith and Cameron Munster getting better cards than me. So I'm like, there's an element of competition. Like, I want to one up.
Yeah, I was literally just hearing the potty before about you being jealous.
Yeah. and in terms of business, I think it's complete opposite. You look at sports. In sports, bro, there has to be one winner and one loser. Like, that's how sports operates. Where in business, like, there's no like 80 minutes, there's no like score line. So there's no point in me trying to not share information with someone that wants to do something exactly the same as me, because at the end of the day, it comes down to execution. Like, who's the better who can execute better? So they talk about zero sums games, and I feel like that's what business is. There's, bro, do you know how much fucking money there is out in this world?
Like, oh, you, man, everyone can eat, man.
Yeah, I the Now you said that, here's an analogy that I used to give. Like, everyone thinks there's one piece of a pie and everyone's like, fuck, where's my cut? Like, I want to be the guy that makes more pie so we all can have a fucking piece.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's how I see business, and it's fucking weird. It's like a marketing strategy. The more value that you give, the more money you end up making, because people just want to support you because you're trying to do good things and you're trying to help other businesses. Like, I've had over 100 people start clothing brands and credited us for it. Like, bro. And I've had people start podcasts and vlogs and all this fucking other shit, started reading books and getting into sports cards, all this stuff. And like, because it goes across so many dimensions, eventually it's going to get cold, bro. And I need a hoodie.
Like, exactly, man. Exactly. Oh my God, to get a hoodie. Point. Yeah, no, exactly right. And I guess, like, it's all about just being seen, you know, you like constantly being there. Like, who's, you know, if you're putting, say, for example, you're putting all that media stuff out there, and even if someone's not interested in the clothing, like you just said, eventually they're going to be looking for clothing, and who's going to be the first thing on their mind?
Oh, Christmas comes around. I've got a brother. Like, you know what I mean? And that's how you look at content. And it's very long form. Like, worry about the long tail. Worry about providing so much value. And then eventually, like, they'll come back around. And then after the back of that, it's trying to provide a good service and get a return customer and get lifetime value of a customer and get into all these sort of numbers and shit like that. So, but up front, it's just, bro, do the best you can. Help as many people as you can and good things will happen.
Yeah, man. And I guess just hard work too, eh? Like, not giving up. Like, you've been at it for how long? And, you know, it's flourishing into exactly what you want now. But I guess everyone sees the tip of the iceberg, eh?
Yeah, it's footy. It's the same as footy. Like, everyone sees the 80 minutes. They don't see Monday to Friday. See, that's what one of the YKTR sports things were. Like, we judge people on the 80 minutes, which we should. But, like, I want to know what fucking Jason Tomalolo ate on a Tuesday for brekkie.
Yes.
Like, oh, bro, I find that shit interesting. Like, I love the game. I love everything it's about. But fuck, like, bro, what gets them going? Like, but people don't know about post-match insomnia. Like, after a game, after a loss, and you're fucking jacked up on so much emotion and you probably had caffeine before a game. Like, a lot of players don't sleep till about 4 or 5 in the morning. Like,
but yeah, where's, man, where's the content? You know?
Where's the content around that? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I feel like too, if that content's out there, you're going to be so much more empathetic. Like, instead of being like on just like fucking bang, 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 you're going to go like, hang on, let's not interview this dude right now. Let's let him fucking recover, get his fucking brain together, and then let him talk. You know what I mean? And don't let him talk for fucking 3 minutes. Give him at least half an hour to explain himself.
And it's like the odd, like, anonymous behind, like, social media. It's like when you're driving a car and someone sort of cuts you off and, like, you're in a car and you feel safe and you're like, oh, fuck, beep, give them, like, the finger, because there's an element of safeness to it. That's the same with social media. People hide behind these fake profiles and they'll DM people and go, oh, fuck you, you cost us the game. Like, that young Tigers kid last year, he missed a kick to tie the game and someone wrote to him, like, oh, you should fucking die because he missed the fucking kick.
Man.
And then kind of got like flustered off the back of it and went to go like inbox this kid, and but it was a fucking kid. It was like a 13-14 year old kid. So do you know what I think about social media, bro? I think you should have to like apply for it, and it should be like your first and last name. And
mate,
it should be like in the license, bro. It should be like in the license.
I literally said, I was literally having this conversation with one of the boys at work the other day. I said, you should have to pass a fucking exam, just a simple like life skills exam before you're allowed to get Facebook. Just because, mate, all you have to do is go to any sort of news article page, read the comments, and you realize how fucked the world is. You know, 90% of the world. You're just like, what are you doing? Like,
I don't know. It's like I love social media. Like, everyone seems to focus on the negative about it, like social, like online bullying and all that sort of stuff. But bullying was happening before, like social media 100%, and stuff.
Man. So, it's just evolving into something else. I guess it's going with the time and it's doing essentially what business does. It evolves, and bullying's probably evolved too, where it's majority online now for that reason. You know, everyone's got balls online. No one's got balls in real life.
that's the if you're not going to say it to the person in front of their face, you probably shouldn't say it like on a mic or in a DM, because it could end bad, like, you know what I mean?
Hey bro, I'm conscious of time. I know you've got like 3 other fucking podcasts because you're a beast today. I don't know how you're doing it, man. But I got one last question, man. It's from a friend of mine, Darren Nichols. He actually loves the fact that he is the oldest player to ever debut in the NRL. He played for St. George last year.
He is my mate,
Desi Nichols. Desi Nichols. Yeah. He was talking some shit, mate. But he wants to know, in all seriousness, he said, when you drop like a new collection, What is the feeling like compared to say going out in the field as a, like, do you get just as pumped when you drop a collection to when you sort of get out in a stadium? Like, what's the feeling comparison there?
It's funny that you asked this question, because I just talked about it on the previous podcast, but like, I associate collection drops with like game day. They don't happen as frequently, but like the only time I was ever nervous before a game, because I didn't get nervous, like, don't want to sound like a hero or anything, but like, just nervousness didn't come over me. But only time I did kind of feel nervous is when I didn't prepare properly. And it's the same with collection drops. So like, before I drop a collection, the question I ask myself is like, fuck, have I provided enough value for the end consumer over the past 8 weeks? So when it does come time to sell, I say, hey, we're dropping a collection. I would love for you guys to support me. Where like a lot of businesses just go sell, 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 don't give any value. I'm the opposite. I see ourselves as a content creation company that just spits out clothes at the bottom and hopefully people purchase them. So I know what he's saying. And to be fair, I'll probably get more nervous probably in the early days about collection drops.
Yeah.
Than I do. And then it's like sort of like you collection drop and the next day you can kind of relax like a little bit because you've seen your numbers or if you had a bad day, you're like, fuck, what have I done wrong? And you try and do all these other things. So there's a lot of correlations that cross over from sports to business, and especially in the business I am. And it's a great question because it's one I think about a lot, but it does remind me of kind of like a game day. Like, you sort of think, oh, have I done enough? And if you've done enough and you've worked hard, like, the scoreboard looks after itself. You know, there's that saying.
Yeah,
you know,
man. I feel that's like, someone asked me today, was I nervous about chatting to you? And at the same time, I was like, it's weird. I'm not, like, cause I feel like, you know, I'm 50 something episodes in, I've done this before, I'm used to it. I guess I'm ready. Like, my miso said, good luck today. And I said, I'm ready, man. I'm good for this, man. This is what I work hard for, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like, it comes with reps as well. So we're like 3-4 years in. So like, it's like, you're not nervous now. And I'm probably not as nervous when we do sales. But then off the back of that, there's an element of review, which is the same as football. Like, you kind of look at video, but in business, you look at your numbers and you look at, oh, where have I gone wrong? But it's getting to the point now, we've got so much data over the 2-3 years, we can almost forecast and plan for the next like year or two. So you build experience, you do reps, you get better, you get more comfortable. The nerves start to diminish, but then you know what you have to do to perform on that day. And that's the biggest correlation that I can cross over from sports to business. And bro, this is fucking weird, bro. If I'm sleeping well, if I'm eating well, if I'm going for a fucking run in the morning, bro, the sales go, that's weird, bro. It's like footy, bro.
Yeah, it just goes like that, man. Yeah. Oh, dude. It is, man. It's such an ebb and flow sort of thing. And it's, I guess it's just the wave, and you just got to ride the wave and see where it takes you, man.
100.
Yeah. All right, brother. Well, I know you've only got 5 minutes to your next one. I know people are going to know exactly where to find you because you're all over it, but where can people find you?
Instagram, IICE_ice. You can find me YKTR, The Ice Project on. I don't know. Fuck. You'll find me somewhere.
You've got everything.
I'll be in front of you.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to take forever for you to do the plug because you've got so much shit going on, man.
It's weird, isn't it?
Thank you so much for taking the time out, man. I really appreciate it. Even giving me an extra few minutes because of that fucking alarm. I could not believe my luck, man. Any other day, that hasn't happened in months. So, yeah, man. Thanks so much. You guys, you know what it is. It's the Inner City Hermit. If you like the content, you know the deal. Go like, subscribe, whatever you want. Ice, I love you, brother. Thank you so much. Keep doing your thing, man. You're an inspiration to so many people. I love it, mate.
Thanks, guys. But obviously, this has been my favorite podcast of the morning. So, bro, hit me up in about 2 months. I'll jump back on.
Yo, let's do it. Very keen, man. Keen as.
All right, my guy. See you later.